Welcome to episode 138 of the Good Kraken Show. I am your host today, Devin Stanford, aka Brevin the Dude, and I am joined here today by my screaming Polynesian, Ernell Pearson. How you doing, baby?
Hey, dude. I turned the cameras on and I saw you there with your busting ass arm. Look at you, look at this fucking nerd with a sling. Look at this fucking guy.
Yeah.
No, to be fair, I saw the strap with the ring and I thought you were wearing like a cosplay, like high fantasy bra. That was
dude, that's very specific there.
Like women armor in video games sort of thing, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How's your arm doing?
My little arm. I mean, it's doing. I'm still waiting to hear back from an orthopedic surgeon because I have to go get an MRI, make sure all my tissue is good up here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I got movement, not full movement, but I got full movement in my hand and my elbow and everything, which is nice. So I can still, like, you know, play some video games with a controller and stuff.
Leaning this way.
Well, you know, what's really nice about this ergonomic Secret Labs Titan chair is that you can adjust the rest so you can, you know, you can rest easy. You know what I mean?
You just like lean back like this.
Oh, yeah. I'm just chilling. Yeah. Big chilling.
Oh, yeah. you poor guy. Dude, it's fucking hot, Devin. It's hot.
Dude.
It's hot. I hate it. I hate it so goddamn much.
Look, I would try and be empathetic with you, but I'm living in a place of privilege right now. I'm unfazed.
Nice ass HVAC. Yeah, I know.
You know, I may have a busted shoulder, but at least I have AC. Haha, fuck you.
Touche, my friend. I might just like Ben Affleck Daredevil it and just like sleep in cold water in my bathtub or something. Just like, I mean, turn the lights
if it works
out,
it works, right? You know,
you know, just like it'll fucking terrible.
And then you can just make videos of you every time getting in and then just post it on TikTok and just say ice bath. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. This is my Daredevil cosplay. This is me ass naked in a cold bathtub.
I would like to see you go through the process of setting up said ice bath and everything, but blindfolded, and then you can truly call it a Daredevil cosplay.
See, here's what's actually funny about this is that we need fat Daredevil, and I'm here to do it. I'm here to do that. That's
I think Charlie Cox does a great job, though.
Wrong disability
at regular Daredevil, but why not fat Daredevil? You know what I'm saying? I have this in the bag. All right. I get it. What's that, baby?
Everybody, please welcome my wonderful little cherry blossom, Garrick Bartholomew.
Thank you for making it less comprehensible for the human brain to collect.
I love the commitment.
So how is Jess okay? Is she okay?
She's all right. She hasn't been stung by like a bee or anything in like over 10 years. So I just wanted to make sure she didn't like fucking, you know, go into anaphylactic shock all of a sudden. But it stung her in like her like mid back. So she like couldn't reach it to like take care of her or anything. So I was helping her like clean it up and get some like cortisone cream on it so it doesn't swell too bad. She's really sensitive to bug bites. She's like that person that like a mosquito will bite her and it's like her whole arm's just like.
Was she trying to like lay in the grass or something? Jesus Christ!
No, she was out in the backyard. I guess she was mowing the backyard and she said it chased her inside.
Oh my God! What a dickhead!
Yeah, dude, wasps are assholes, man.
Wasps suck. Dude. Ugh. Wasps suck.
So do you have an EpiPen at home just in case of?
You know what, we don't. I think her mom is allergic to bees, if I recall. So we should probably
do that. Yeah. Do you have any Benadryl?
We do. Yes. We always got a Benny. But like thankfully. Like she doesn't get, this is like the first time she's been stung in a really, really, really long time. So hopefully, I'm glad it wasn't worse. Cause that was like my first thought. She's like, I got stung by a bee. And I was just like, I don't think this has ever happened since I've known you. Are you allergic to bees?
Probably a good time for us to talk to this post-marital status.
Like, should have come up. Yeah. But she's all right. She was just like, I don't want to mow the backyard anymore. And I was like, then don't. I was like, that's okay.
That is completely reasonable feeling to have. You know what? I don't feel like being outside anymore after being like, viciously attacked by an insect. I wouldn't want to either. You know what I mean?
And that wasp was playing the insect side of Grounded too much. It was just going for it.
Joke's on you. It was actually Xander and He's like buzz, 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 like doing circles in your backyard.
that character from Family Guy. He's like, I'm a bee. I'm a sting you.
Oh god!
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course. But Xander in a bee outfit is more fun in my brain, in my little noggin. You know what I mean?
It's your head cannon.
Yes, Xander's a bee guy.
I bet you can convince him to buy a bee onesie.
Or should we just get him one and send it to him?
I knew a dude who had a bee thong where like the bee stinger was the front.
Doesn't Blizzbear have a bee suit?
I believe he does, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen Blizzbear do a stream with a bee suit.
We're not talking about bee suits though, because we're talking about Into the Sky to Win or Die.
Tilters, giant whiny babies, and much, much more. Because this is the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. West Coast, best coast time. If you're riding this wave, you can head on over to our Discord, where you can submit questions and topics to the show, get exclusive content, and have early access before they go live on podcasts and video services across the digital sea. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that is totally fine. You can watch us record the show live right here at
twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow.
If you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime, and we would love for you to give that to us to help us keep pushing out content for all of you listening or watching at home. But you can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken, ! And leaving a review.
Too many echoes.
I can fill up the space, you know what I'm saying? Give some more ambience, you know what I mean?
Garrick!
What?
We got some captain's orders. Everybody, please join our Discord. Invite your friends, invite your family, invite your mother, your father, your dog, you know, that person that you kind of like, but you really just look at them as a mere acquaintance, but then you think about it a little bit more and then you decide that you don't really like them. Invite them anyways. We'll see what happens.
And their dog too. Their dog too.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially their dog.
Everybody's dogs, really.
Yeah. Everyone's dogs. All the dogs. Yeah,
every dog. Mm-hmm. Every dog. We have a pets channel. Be a part of the pets channel. Show us your dogs. Wow.
Yes, we do. That's right.
Yeah. I like dogs. I have a dog.
One day you guys are going to get an update from the pets channel and it's going to be me on a leash.
Shut the fuck up.
So dumb. So dumb.
Have like a leather mask like Channing Tatum and this is the end.
I'm gonna take it off and be like, hey guys.
No, you're gonna go woof. Woof.
This little doggy. Woof. Woof. You know the ninja star in his eye episode? You remember that one?
Oh god. Ernell, can you tell the people what we got next?
Devin, I'm so glad you asked, my friend, because right now we're going to the helm.
Ernell, could you tell the people what the helm is?
The helm, Devin, is after I hydrate here. The helm is our little news segment. I'm bringing an energy tonight, boys. You better keep up. The helm is our little news segment where we give you guys some of the awesome stuff that that you want to hear throughout the week and the past few days of us doing content. You guys can keep up with the nerdy culture that you like to know about. Do you, Devin, do you want me to go first? You want me to handle the big old long one there at the end?
Handle it.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, Aragorn TV series adaptation is in development at Disney Plus. This comes from Jill Otterson. What a fucking name. Can you imagine having your name be Otter Son?
Like, sounds like an otter son.
He was his great 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 grandfather was in like Iceland, right? Just in Iceland, saw an otter, so that's me, and then he had a kid. Oh shit. From Variety, and he says this: an Aragorn live action TV series is in early development at Disney Plus. Variety has learned exclusively from sources. The series would be based on the Christopher Paolini, I think is how you pronounce
Paolini.
It. Paolini, thank you, Garrick. A young adult novel series, The Inheritance Cycle, with Aragorn being the first of the four books in that series. According to sources, Paolini will serve as co-writer on the series. Bert Salke will, sorry, my mouse moved things, will executive produce under his Collab 21 banner, with 20th Television producing. Salke is currently under an overall deal with Disney Television Studios, of which 20th TV is a part. Reps for Disney and Paolini did not immediately respond to Variety's request for comment. Quote, unquote, The Inheritance Cycle tells the story of a farm boy named Aragorn, who discovers an egg that hatches into a dragon.
Why are you still laughing?
Farm boy! Fuck. Okay. Back up. Oh shit. The Inheritance Cycle tells the story of a farm boy named Aragorn who discovers an egg that hatches into a dragon he names Saphira. Through their bond and the help of his mentor Braum, Aragorn learns to be a dragon rider, an ancient order that had long been thought to be wiped out by the evil king Galbatorix. Aragorn and Saphira set out to defeat Galbatorix and free the land of Alagasia, I believe is how it's pronounced. Garrick, fact check.
Allegasia,
thank you, from his tyranny. Cyril says I'm fired, which is totally fair. Oh boy. So I know Garrick was a big Aragorn fan. I read a couple of the books. I did not dive completely into the series myself. Devin, were you an Aragorn fan?
Never really cared for it.
Okay,
just fair enough. Never read it, never saw anything, don't know anything about it.
Sure. Garrick, are you excited, Mr. Aragorn fan?
Dude, I'm already immediately worried. So this was the first, like, novel series that I ever read as it came out.
Okay.
So like this is like a really important book series to me, and I love the Inheritance Cycle because dragons and shit, right?
Right, right.
But I also remember going to see the original theatrical adaptation of this, and I have never to this fucking day been more pissed by the time I walked out of a fucking movie theater, man. Oh my god, I have a visceral. Shitty reaction to this film. Like, literally just thinking about it gets me fucking heated, dude. I hate it. Everything about it was fucking, like, the production was cheap. The CGI was fucking shit. Character design was fucking nothing like what was written on the goddamn pages. Like, it was horrible. Like, the fucking orcs were just people. And, like, dude, none of it made any sense. It was fucking, they gave Saphira feathers for fucks. I was mad, dude. Pissed me off so much.
So Garrick, would you rather rewatch that for the first time or get stung by a wasp?
Stung, dude, by a wasp. I'd shake the cup up and be like, let her rip, dude. Because like that literally, I've never been so mad. so fucking, I remember it was like fucking like, it was like 16, 17 year old me or some shit too. I was just like, this is ready, man. I was just like, this is the, it was my worst, like hands down my worst like movie going experience ever, dude. I hated it. Fucking hated it. So I'm like immediately concerned for this because I do not have a lot of faith that it will get accurately adapted to anything as to like what I read on the books. And like, dude, and it's not even like, I understand like taking our like, it's, I understand like the meaning of the word adaptation, right?
Right. Sure.
But like when you derail it that bad, like it was just, it literally, you couldn't, it like, it felt like a disservice to call it Aragorn. But like, dude, if they can get, if they can like at least encapsulate like the events of the first book correctly with appropriate CGI and at least attempt to read the pages of in the character descriptions to understand what the dragons in that world look like, because like color and like scaling is really, and like the way their horns look is all really important, and like it means like it, like it means something about like that, like that dragon's legacy and like where they came from and stuff. So when you fuck up their design like that, it like ruins like the world building that the author created. And so like, I'm worried, but like, dude, if I watch this and I am like immediately like, let's fucking go, dude, I will like, oh, I'd love to see it. Like, I would love to see it like adapted like well, because like, I have such like lovely, like, dude, I remember like closing the last book and like sitting there and just being like, what the fuck do I do with my fucking life now?
Nothing. Get stung by wasps.
Cried a little bit, dude. It was like, I have such like fond memories of that book. So like, if they can adapt it faithfully, or at least 25% better than whatever the shit they tried to service before was, like, it will be watchable. But I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Devin, do you want to come back to me for the last one, since it's a big one?
Yeah. Garrick, could you read this next one for us?
Absolutely. Whew, I'm all fired up now, dude. I have feelings.
God, it's my turn after this one. Go ahead.
dude, I have feelings on this too, so we'll chat. The Lord of the Rings Gollum delayed by a few months, and this is coming from Billy Givens at IGN. The studio shared the news via Twitter, where it thanked fans for their ongoing patience regarding the release of Lord of the Rings Gollum. The statement, which says that the game has been pushed back by a few months, promises that the team is dedicated to uncovering the untold story of Gollum in a way that honors the vision of J.R.R. Tolkien. While no updated release date was given, the statement promises an update on the exact timing in the near future. The game was initially planned for release on September 1st, so with only a handful of months before the end of the year, it is now feasible that it could be going on the list of games to be delayed into 2023. That may be the best, though, based on what we've seen of Lord of the Rings Gollum already. Lord of the Rings Gollum's cast plays cast players, as the titular creature, and a tale set before the events pertaining to the main line books and movies. As a stealth title, combat will be very limited, instead asking players to sneak through perilous locations within Middle-earth and assassinate enemies in creative ways. The Lord of the Rings Gollum is set to release on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Series X, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Give me them thoughts or no.
I would be okay if they delayed this to another console generation, because this game looks really bad. This game looks really bad. I don't know if you guys saw the last trailer that we got of it, but I am not the least bit fucking excited for this game whatsoever.
If you go into the comment section of the YouTube video of like that of the initial gameplay trailer, everyone's just like, bro, my Nokia like 2004 has better graphics.
It's just, it is the most PS2 ass looking current generation game I think I've seen in a really long time. Like, I don't know how they pulled off making it look this bad. like I can't even fathom the fucking word to give to it. It just there's nothing about it that excites me. Like, any little schmeckle of excitement, of fire that I had inside for this is just gone. It's dissipated. I had very little hope that this game would hit, and now it just, like, honestly, I really do not see this game selling better than bug snacks. Like, I don't see this game selling better than a majority of fucking, even the goddamn Roller Champions game that is getting canceled by right. Ubisoft, which we'll talk about in a second. I don't think it's gonna sell better than that. And that's a free to play game. Like, I just don't, like, I can't think of a world in which someone saw this game and was like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Like, nobody. I can't imagine nobody. That being a real thing.
This is one of the most uninteresting games on the announcement slate that we have right now, in my opinion.
It's just so, like, disappointing. You know, like, I just looked at it and I was just like, like, you know what I mean? Like, just like, right, exactly. Like, I can imagine us doing a live reaction to that trailer and just being like, okay, all right, I guess, like, sure. This is like, I don't know, dude. Like, there's a million one other games that for us to be excited about, and in a time right now where we're getting game after game after game, this is just nowhere near anything that I'm like excited for. And also too, like, by a few months, like, are they gonna have this come out like spring 2023 where there's like 14 games that everyone's excited about coming out?
Like, it'd be the most swept under the rug game of 2023.
A few months could be 3 or 4. Might come out in December.
Sure.
I mean, I guess, but it needs way more work than just being coming out. Honestly, just throw the whole idea away. Like, just give me Lord of the Rings Return to Moria. Like, that.
Right. Just give us another Shadows.
I'll wait for that. Like, because with Return to Moria, like, coming out, I'm already way more interested in that. Because it's the first Lord of the Rings game ever set in the Fourth Age. Like, it's already going to be way cooler in concept.
Way cooler.
I want another Lord of the Rings, the Third Age game. Mm.
Oh,
good take.
Fuck,
good take,
underrated. Underrated RPG.
One of the best RPGs to ever be made.
Good game. Very good game.
I have a hard copy of that. Me too. And I do have a one of the PS3s that plays PS2 games. Mm. I might actually.
Yeah, get a little swing.
A little nostalgia. A little nostalgia going on.
That's a good game. That's a long game too.
Yes.
It's a good game, it's a long game, and it's not disappointing, like some news we have here. Devin, do you want to take it?
Yeah. Ubisoft cancels Ghost Recon Frontline, Splinter Cell VR, and two unannounced games. This is coming from Marcus Stewart over at Game Informer. The publisher announced the cancellations in an investor call, part of the same earnings report that revealed the delay of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Ghost Recon Frontline was a battle royale take on the franchise unveiled last October. It boasted 100-plus player matches and was positioned as Ubisoft's next big live service title. Outside of a planned closed beta that never came to pass, Frontline never had a release window, and the game is heavily criticized by fans who wanted a more traditional Ghost Recon experience. You can watch the reveal trailer below. Splinter Cell VR was revealed in September 2020, and it was to be a brand new Splinter Cell title made from the ground up for virtual reality. The game hadn't made much of a peep since then. Assassin's Creed VR, which was revealed alongside it, still seems to be happening, though. Ubisoft CFO Frederic Duguay.
Duguay
told investors that canceling these titles and the two unannounced projects was a cost-cutting measure to emphasize even more focus on our biggest development opportunities.
Boys, okay. Sorry, Fred. Are we, one, surprised, and two, bummed out?
Nope.
All right, Devin, speak on it.
This is like one of the things I kind of predicted that would be happening with Ubisoft. If you remember a few weeks ago, I said we were going to start seeing a lot of cancellations here soon, and maybe even a studio shutdown, probably just because they haven't been on top of it as much as they usually are. They haven't had any titles that are some big hitters over the last couple of years. I'm not surprised at all, because a lot of people have been asking Ubisoft to not do live service, because every single live service game they've introduced so far just fails within the first couple months. So, yeah.
Besides the Division 2, a game you hate.
Oh, I love that game. I don't think Skull and Bones is going to do much for them either.
Nah.
So
it's not going to be like a hit that they seem to think it's going to be.
I think we're seeing Ubisoft go down the same road as Konami. But I think they have a little bit more will behind them to stay above that, especially with the Assassin's Creed franchise.
It's wild to think that they have... Actually, it's a couple things are wild here. One, they are really riding this Assassin's Creed train, and they have no option but to do so, besides one other option. And as I was going to say, it's wild that there is never a better time for them to do it. But where the fuck is Splinter Cell?
Well, they just canceled the Splinter Cell game.
We didn't need that anyways. Where the fuck is Splinter Cell?
It's one of those things that never gets revived. It's just going to be like,
knock on wood.
Dude, they clearly put that for, like, nobody has talked about it. There's not even rumors about, like, another, like, mainline title for the franchise.
There are rumors. There are rumors that there is.
But nothing with any traction, though.
Yeah, they're like super light. It's
an inkling of an inkling. But the thing is like they've just been consistently like shitting the bed as a studio lately across the board. Like nobody wanted Ghost Recon Frontline. Literally, like after Wildlands, we're just like you fucking kidding me? This was the shift. This was their Breakpoint. Excuse me, because Wildlands was like all right, but Breakpoint sucked.
Yeah,
yeah, it did. I never played it. Dude, I love the Ghost Recon games. Like, Wildlands was pretty tight.
Future Soldier.
They need to bring that back.
Oh yeah,
they got to bring that back.
Breakpoint was borderline a fucking joke. Like on release, they literally had to put so much work into that game to make it like passable as like a piece of like gaming content. And like, I am a little bit sad about the Avatar Frontiers of Pandora getting delayed, but I'm not shocked about it at all because we literally haven't heard anything about it since its like freaking announcement.
Yeah, at E3, right?
Yeah,
I think we need if they want to stay relevant in the live service realm, I think we need that Assassin's Creed MMO and the Division crossplay game. I think we need those two things. Sooner than later, at least some news. Avatar has to get released. I'd like to see them go back to some of the older titles of Ghost Recon, like we talked about. We briefly mentioned Future Soldier. That was a great series that they did. I would like to see them maybe go back to something like that. And a revival of Splinter Cell. Like, I feel like those are the things that they need to kind of save them. I think they should stay away from Far Cry for a while, or if they do come out with any Far Cry games, they should touch on like Blood Dragon style Far Cry games, you know, like shorter experiences.
Far Cry needs a rest. I think I'm in agreement with you there. Like the last like five, dude, six literally got swept under the rug for me completely. Like
I
didn't hear any news about it at all after it got released, which was a damn shame because Giancarlo Esposito, but you know, everybody like had so many fucking complaints and problems with five, and then A New Hope pissed everybody off. I don't understand like what their business direction at the moment.
I need a Prince of Persia revival. That's what I need.
Literally gonna say there's options here. There are we have Splinter Cell, we have Prince of Persia, we have Just Dance.
I don't think they stopped that.
That's fair.
Prince of Persia needs to make a comeback. Figure that out.
It just feels like every time that they come into like an IP that like people are like, yes, do it, right? They're like, okay, nah. And they just
like
sweep that shit away. Like we don't got the time or money for that because we're working on our 16th installment of the Assassin's Creed IP. Like it's so disappointing, man. But I mean, honestly though, I think enough people like Assassin's Creed and Far Cry for what it is that I don't see Ubisoft going under, but they're gonna have a hard time going forward at this rate. And it's kind of a bummer to see for a, you know, development group that had some really, really good games historically. Some really, really fucking good games that we've, like, loved over the years. And so it's a little bit of a bummer, but, you know, thoughts and prayers to them, I guess.
Thoughts and prayers. Oh, my God.
Maybe they weren't tough.
I'm going through the, you know, the IP list. They have a lot of fucking IPs. Like, a lot.
I mean, here's to hoping that Watch Dogs does great. Like, I hope it ends up being, you know, as fun as it looks like it could be. But I don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean? Do they...
You know, they also... they have Onimusha. They could redo that.
You mean Dark Souls?
Well. It was Sekiro? Dark Souls before Dark Souls, potentially.
Yeah, I know. But I don't think people ask for Onimusha anymore, unfortunately, but you know, yeah. I don't know. They have options, I guess is the point. They have options. Just like you guys at home also have options, because goddamn San Diego Comic-Con was the other day, and boy did they roll out some shit. Oh boys, boy did they roll out some shit. We've got a very good old rundown for y'all at home. I'm only going to run through the important stuff because this list is hefty. So bear with me, y'all. Firstly, we got a look at a new movie coming out called Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. Woo! You know what I'm saying? Like, goddamn, that looks so good, dude. That has Chris Pine in it playing a bard.
I love Chris Pine.
And I am oddly here for it. Like, super, super fucking here for it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection, got a release date for August 30th. That is a big collection of a bunch of old school Ninja Turtles games. They did a big old Comic-Con clip thing for D&D Honor Among Thieves to release that they are doing a... battle with classic 1980s cartoon party that's going to be like a little animated thing that they're fucking doing. So with that said, excuse me, we got Disney's National Treasure TV show got a teasy trailer. They got a little teasy, I mean. But that is Lisette Alexis as the main character Jess Morales doing Nicolas Cage stuff.
Checks out.
Right. We finally got a new trailer for Gotham Knights exclusively with Batgirl, finally getting some gameplay with her, and actually looked pretty good.
You know, just to touch on this one real quick, I literally just like tweeted about it the other day, and I was just like, every time I see like a new piece of gameplay, it looks just like a little better, like a little better. I'm just like, and honestly, like, after, like, and this is like our fourth one that we are down the road now since we got our initial reveal, right? Because we got Nightwing and then Red Hood and then a Nightwing one, and then we've got Robin and now Batgirl, and like the Batgirl one looked pretty good. I was just like, okay, this might actually be like shaping up to be something pretty fun.
So I'm gonna be Nightwing.
Oh, Red Hood dibs.
Oh, I'll go fuck myself, I guess. That's fine. I'll be back.
You know we're gonna play it. You know we're gonna play it.
Oh yeah, of course. I'll be back.
Who's gonna be our Robin?
I don't know. Batgirl's costume, like I like that they did like the little takes with a different costume show. Dude, some of her like suits were fucking fire.
Yeah. Pretty dope looking.
Who's gonna be our Robin?
Xander.
Be our Robin. Xander. That you know that dude. Checks out. That checks out. Yeah. Actually,
yeah. He's kind of just our Robin, anyways. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Amazon's The Wheel of Time is renewed for a third season, based on the fantasy novels of Robert Jordan. Showrunner Rafe Judkin said season 3 will follow book 4, The Shadow Rising. So that's gonna be really cool for all you Wheel of Time fans out there. Nextly, we got a clip at some Beavis and Butthead. Looks there that came along with a very fun announcement that King of the Hill creator says that animated sitcom King of the Hill has a very good chance of coming back.
Oh, please give me that text.
Give me anime, baby. Give me fucking King of the goddamn Hill. Look at Devin. Look at Devin trying to put on. Devin,
nerd.
Oh, you, Devin, you're muted. You're muted.
You're muted, nerd.
There's a reason why I just went and grabbed this.
Get that ibuprofen in, baby. Anyways, yes. So we might get King of the Hill back. That's pretty fucking dope too. Let's see here. SpongeBob SquarePants universe getting a crossover event. Fucking weird thing they talked about. But they're doing a multiverse special for a SpongeBob episode. Don't know what that means, but it's supposed to involve SpongeBob SquarePants, Camp Coral, and the Patrick Star show.
What? Patrick Star has his own show now?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I might actually watch this just to see what they do with it, because it just sounds kind of weird.
I'm here for it.
And I love classic SpongeBob.
Fans of Zack Snyder and his collection of DC films, including Justice League, Man of Steel, and Batman vs. Superman, shouldn't get their hopes up for any further additions, because speaking at a Comic-Con panel, DC Comics Chief Creative Officer Jim Lee said that there are no further plans to expand on that material.
Thank
So we finally God. Got confirmation. They're not doing it. They're not fucking doing it.
Good.
Fuck Ezra Miller.
Some other stuff that we did get, though. Multiverses reveals a new characters, including LeBron James and Rick Sanchez.
This game's going to be ridiculous. We're playing it, right?
We have to play this.
We have to play Smash Brothers style. But they're also adding Rick and Morty to the game as well. we also got a very, 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 very fucking cool teaser trailer. Again, another trailer for Lord of the Rings. The Rings of Power, in which they show the creation of a Balrog. And I have never been harder in my life.
I can't wait for this show.
God damn, it's going to be good, dude.
I'm more excited about this show than I am of Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon.
I love it, dude. I love it, man. Yeah, dude,
100%. This is going to be like, this is like my show of the year I'm looking forward to.
Goddamn, son. Goddamn. Matthew Lillard says the Ultra Instinct Shaggy meme is in fact canon. He says, quote, in the movie, there's that bar fight scene. There was the Mortal Kombat animated movie last year, and it was connected to that. I fucking love it. Then we got a trailer for I Am Groot, revealing the first look at the adorable Guardians of the Galaxy spinoff movie. But yeah, that's
anthology. Anthology style show too.
Sorry. The minute long trailer shows Baby Groot on his own adventures ahead of its official release date on August 10th.
That's very soon.
Very, very soon. Very, very soon. And then Marvel's What If Season 2 announced for early 2023 alongside a Season 3 confirmation. Pretty self-explanatory. Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. And then
Hell yeah, fuck yeah.
And we got a cool announcement for Spider-Man Freshman Year arriving on Disney Plus in 2024 and will feature Charlie Cox's Daredevil. Oh, son.
That's the first part of the excitement of all the Daredevil news.
That's the first of it, right? So this is a fully animated show that is supposed to be in the animation style of the original 1990s Spider-Man cartoon. Charlie Cox will be voicing his own Daredevil. So that's cool to fucking know.
Dude, I'm so excited. My heart, goddamn, dude. One of my favorite heroes ever.
And then X-Men 97 to premiere on Disney Plus in fall 2023. We finally got a soft date for that bad boy, and leading into it, we got some cool stuff that's going to be happening, because Marvel Zombies on Disney Plus is to have gore and splatter you want from a zombie show. So they officially rated it M for mature.
This is the start. We just got Logan and Deadpool 1 and 2 on Disney Plus now, which are both very gory in their own right and very violent. And now we have a brand new show that's coming to Disney Plus with a TVMA confirmation.
Yep.
This feels good.
Goddamn. And then we got a full-on trailer for, finally, Tales of the Walking Dead that hit us, alongside a really, really cool trailer for the Walking Dead premiere date for the series finale episodes. And then finally, to wing that off, they hit us with a fucking wild one. The Walking Dead spinoff starring Andrew Lincoln's Rick Grimes and Denai Guerrera's Michonne is announced for 2023. Holy shit.
That's gonna be sick.
We're getting the Rick-tatorship back. Let's fucking go, Rick-tator. Dude. The Rick-tatorship.
Carl.
Fucking dead, Carl. Carl. I need it in my fucking veins so goddamn bad. And then we got, let's see here. Important stuff here. Batman and Spawn are doing a crossover in the comics again. That's pretty fucking cool. Let's see here.
I would love to see that in live action. That would be really cool.
Don't even get me started, dog. You know, Spawn being my favorite superhero ever, yeah. Period, ever. We need him back.
Spawn,
we need him
fucking Spawn back. And freaking Robert Pattinson Batman meet.
Seeing some cool superhero stuff. We got a first trailer for Shazam Fury of the Gods, and it looked good. I need to watch this goddamn movie, man.
It's one of the best DC movies.
Yeah, like it's like top three.
Which isn't saying a lot, but still.
No, but like it's actually like so freaking good. It like it captures like a weird side of like superhero like comics that you wouldn't expect. I don't know. It's like it's just it's I don't know. It's a fresh. It's fresh. I like it. I really enjoyed Shazam quite a lot. Let's watch it together.
Yeah, I'm down.
I'm down for that. All right. Because next up we had The Rock come out in full Black Adam costume during the San Diego Comic-Con to announce a new trailer that shows Justice Society's Atom Smasher, Dr. Fate, Cyclone, and Hawkman, which we already knew from the trailers or whatever. But then that movie is coming out October 21st. This is a reminder for everybody at home there.
I'm actually kind of stoked about that movie. I really liked Dr. Fate and having Pierce Brosnan play him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
Good pick, right? That's actually good casting right there.
Very much so. We got another trailer for The Sandman that came out, kind of showing us some more plot beats there that you can expect from the show. And then we got a first trailer for Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire, starring the gentleman who plays as Grey Worm in Game of Thrones. Playing as Lestat. Yes. Ooh, goddamn. That releases on October 2nd. Ooh. Give me that. excuse me. And then we got a look at a new Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania poster showing what Kang is supposed to look like. And oh boy, oh boy, do they go off on that one, boys. You know what I'm telling you? You know what I'm saying? Oh, goddamn. Let's see here, get to the important stuff. All right, finally, She-Hulk and Black Panther will conclude phase 4 of the MCU. And then phase 5 was revealed.
Yeah. Yo, okay. Fuck. I know all of us were kind of meh on She-Hulk at first.
It looks pretty good. It looks pretty good.
The trailer
has shifted my opinion.
Just the casting alone and the characters that are involved. I was like, okay, yep. You put two characters in there that immediately make me like this already.
And the dope-ass tease at the end, too.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
which
one
leads
of them.
Right into Daredevil Born Again announced during the San Diego Comic-Con. We got that reveal. Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio will be returning as their titular characters. And then Blade, Mahershala Ali's MCU version of Blade, got a release date, and that is going to be November 3rd of next year. Goddamn, son. Goddamn. We got that new She-Hulk
the new She-Hulk trawler.
Secret Invasion comes to Disney Plus next spring. That's going to be fun. Apparently there was an exclusive trailer they showed that people were describing as like a thriller movie. Like Nick Fury is getting chased and he has to like find some shit. So that makes me real fucking hyped about that show. And then we find out that Marvel's Thunderbolts will be concluding phase 5 in the summer of 2024.
I'm so pumped on Thunderbolts. I'm so pumped. Mm-hmm. Now, Did they say anything if they're going to be antagonistic or they're going to use them like Suicide Squad?
They haven't said shit about this movie yet.
I'd say it could go either way. The comic book version is a little Suicide Squad-y.
It basically is. Yeah, it's basically Marvel's take on it. But with that said, before we get to the end of Phase 4, we have Captain America New World Order will be coming on May 3rd, 2024. Give us that.
Yep.
And then Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania gets a first real look with Kang the Conqueror and announcing that MODOK will be in the movie. And guess who's MODOK?
It's not Bill Murray, is it?
Because no, it's the antagonist from the first Ant-Man movie.
Oh, that checks out, Hornet or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he turns into fucking MODOK. Yeah. Goddamn.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I like Goddamn. That. Okay.
I wonder what kind of role Bill Murray's going to be playing in this movie.
I know, right? Hopefully he's not just like a dumb cameo or something like that. Then we got to look at Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Got a new trailer, and apparently people cried, is how emotional this fucking trailer was. So buckle your fucking seats, kids.
Like the cinematic end for that group of heroes, like it's already been like well and announced. Like James Gunn, he was just like, this is it, like for me and the Guardians, like we're not doing it. So we'll see how it goes.
We shall see, my friend. And then Marvel's Echo, Loki Season 2, Ironheart, and Agatha series all got narrowed release windows. Loki Season 2 and Echo will arrive next summer, Ironheart in the fall, and Agatha Coven of Chaos next winter. And then we finally got two last reveals here. MCU Phase 6 will begin with Fantastic Four, but then end with Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, and Avengers Secret Wars, with our 6 months apart from each other.
That's going to be very Infinity War Endgame style right there.
That's going to be a whole lot of fuckery in a very short period of time for the goddamn MCU.
So God damn.
When does Doctor Doom show up? What's your guys's theory? Because I think he shows up at the end of Wakanda Forever.
Oh, you think it's early, huh?
Yeah. Because he's going to be so important throughout. Just like how Loki is like important throughout it. I feel like that's going to be Doctor Doom, but way on a more intense scale.
I think Ant-Man.
You think Ant-Man?
Quantumania, yeah.
I feel like he's going to be like the one that's like pulling the strings because, you know, after Wakanda.
I think
he does that in the comics.
I mean, he does a lot of things in the comics, my guy. Yeah. He does a lot of shit in the fucking comics, my friend.
He's Dr. Doom.
speaking of which, the final big thing that Marvel gave us here was that Black Panther Wakanda Forever gets a first trailer and plot details. So this trailer was epic as all fuck. Goddamn, Angela Bassett in that voiceover. But then they also finally showed Namor the Submariner, and he actually looks fucking dope. He does. Super dope, and that's Tanakh Huerta playing that. And cool, they gave us a little cool look at his costume design. He looks like a Mayan warrior coming out of the fucking water, and I'm like, oh yeah, I like that take a lot. But then they finally announced that Avengers Endgame directors Joe and Anthony Russo will not be directing the Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars. But boys, I do have two bits of breaking news.
I know exactly what you're gonna announce. Yeah. I'm just gonna reach for it.
God damn, boys. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we did find out who's gonna be directing the Kang Dynasty, my friends. And that is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings director, Destin Daniel Cretton. Mm-hmm. And I am so fucking happy for this bad boy. Oh man, boys.
Like, cinematography wise, Shang-Chi has been my favorite of Phase 4 MCU.
I can't wait to see what Shang-Chi's place in the MCU is moving forward, because like I haven't even thought about when we're gonna see him again.
Boys, I'm just imagining a fight scene between Shang-Chi and Kang the Conqueror, and I felt my pee-pee move. You know what I'm saying? Like it just You know what I'm saying? I was like, yep, that's it. That's the one. But then it fell back down with this next bit of breaking news. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic PS5 remake reportedly delayed indefinitely. This comes from Austin Gosling.
Definitely.
Over at Polygon. Yep. And he says, developers Asper's remake of fan favorite Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic for PlayStation 5 has been delayed indefinitely, according to a report from Bloomberg. The news comes after the studio reportedly fired two directors and another studio was brought in to help work on the project. God damn it. God damn it.
Shit.
Fucking damn it. I know. I boys, I was here for it. I was here for it too. I was excited for it. But we'll see. Yes, we shall see. Devin, what are we doing next?
Well, we're about to move on to our next segment. But before we move on to our next segment, I want to remind everyone they can support us on over at Discord. That's right. Go to our Discord link that we'll be throwing in the chat where you can submit questions and topics to the show and get exclusive material from yours truly, Internel and Garrick. Or you can just hang out with us in some watch parties. But until you're a part of that, here's a word from our sponsors.
This piece of good cracking content is brought to you by Glide mouse pads. The world is changing and the demand for PC gaming and work from home setups has never been as wild as it is right now. Having the best of the best in PC accessories only makes it easier to get your work done before you jump right back into the fray of the digital sea. And Glide knows exactly how to make it happen for you. Glide mouse pads is the future industry leader in mouse pads, offering beautiful, smooth, and waterproof products made with eco-friendly materials and non-slip rubber in a variety of sizes that are guaranteed to help you get the next win. Is your battle rug just looking a little crusty? Is the mouse just not as smooth as it used to be? Or are you just looking to get rid of that ergonomic mouse pad your grandma got you for Christmas? Well, then I think we have the mouse pad for you. You can go to glidemousepads.com right now and use code Kraken for 15% off the Founders Edition mousepad in every size available. Again, that's code K-R-A-K-E-N, Kraken, for 15% off any Founders Edition mousepads today. Our next sponsor is Rogue Energy. Late nights are pretty much commonplace for us content creators, and any of us here at GK can attest that sometimes you're just too damn tired to even think about how not to be tired anymore. Lucky for us, though, Rogue has figured out how to give us those late nights and even earlier mornings the supercharge we all need. Rogue Energy is a low-calorie, no-sugar energy formula that is the perfect alternative to sugar-filled canned energy drinks and sodas. Every formula Rogue Energy produces is designed with optimal levels of high-quality ingredients and no chalky textures. Being the only gaming drink company in the world with four unique product lines to suit your task at hand, Rogue Energy strives to improve that in-game performance of gamers, streamers, and content creators everywhere. Look, I love this stuff. I've got two tubs at home right now. Your boy is drinking on some caramel vanilla latte in the mornings and sipping on some mango pineapple throughout the day. And if you are wondering how you can get these two dope flavors, well, I'm gonna tell you. You can head over to rogueenergy.com and use code GKRAKEN for 10% off your purchase on any shaker or formula tub of your choosing. That is GKRAKEN for 10% off any shaker or formula tub of you'd like. And now back to your regularly scheduled good Kraken content.
Yo, welcome back to the Good Kraken Show. I hope you enjoyed a word from our sponsors. If you would like to support us even further, please go to our Discord and be a part of the Fish family. Right now, we are going into our next segment, and it is all hands, but only my one hand on deck. It's all usable hands on deck. Garrick, what have you been playing and or watching this week?
Well, this week I actually started a brand new TV show on Hulu. And it is a back of the house kitchen dramedy. It goes by the title of The Bear. And holy fuck, is that just some goddamn good television? It is sitcom length, and it's I don't know if you guys ever watched the, I personally haven't seen this show, but I know it does have quite a bit of popularity. But the show Shameless, did you guys ever watch Shameless?
Mm-hmm.
So the guy who plays Carmi or Carmen, I guess he's like one of the main or recurring casts from that show. Like, he gained prominence from that. But so the TLDR on like on what you're kind of looking at getting into the show is like it's a dramedy that like has a really, really raw presentation. Its mature like rating basically comes like almost exclusively from like kitchen staff fucking language, like back of the house language, and like it is like, and like these motherfuckers are constantly talking like nobody's listening, like that's what it feels like, which is accurate. There's like a chaos to like the cinematography and the dialogue of the show that feels very restaurant back of the house life. It reminded me a lot of my prep cook days, which I really kind of like loved and hated. Because that's the food industry, is there's like this weird love-hate thing that you've got with it. But Carmen is a Michelin star chef, and he basically worked at the number one restaurant in the world. Like, the dude knows his food, and he is the shit. And after his brother passes, and in his passing, his brother leaves his shitty health grade C Chicago sandwich shop to him in his will. And so he comes back to run this rundown shitty sandwich shop with like his family and his coworkers. And the place is a fucking mess, dude. And as you're kind of going through the season, which is 8 episodes long, I'm a little over halfway at this point. I'll probably be finishing it tonight. You're kind of discovering like exactly why it was that this restaurant was a fucking mess. And it was like a big combination of a lot of things. Carmen's brother Mike, like there's like a lot about him that like unfolds as the show goes on, and you know, with things like him having like addiction problems and like running side businesses at like the back door of his fucking of his restaurant to like to try to stay afloat, to borrowing money from, you know, from people, to like this, that, and the other thing, and like just ended up dumping it all into his brother's lap after he dies. And like just the turmoil of that, and like basically coming to terms with the fact that everybody thinks Carmen's this pushover douche that went over to like this culinary food in New York, and like you get flashbacks of like his time in New York, and the dude's got like Carmi, literally every fucking scene this dude is in, he looks like he has seen some fucking shit, dog. And like they do a good job like presenting like. And there's like a lot of, there's hard topics in the show that like, that they approach in like a really like, this is how shit kind of deal with this in real life sort of way. Like some of it's not necessarily like the most PC because not everybody does that when like they talk about this sort of shit, but it deals with stuff from like mental health to suicide. And there's a lot of that in this show. And like, there's a lot of big undertones to like, you know, like kitchen family, like being like a family, and like all these staff members have like their own like interesting plots going on, and you're kind of wondering like why they're having shitty days like each episode. You're like, what's going on in their lives? They make you care about the staff, and it's just incredibly, incredibly well written and great storytelling, and like you're very interested as to like what's unfolding with this characters as it goes on. This actually currently holds a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is just like Abbott Elementary. Like, it is a fucking slammer of a show, man. Hulu, this is where you can find it. We're also where you can find Abbott Elementary, oddly enough. And they got some slamming shows run at sitcom length. They pack a lot of meaty content into, you know, that 28 to 30 minutes. And they really make you care about the story and the staff and what's going on. And it's like one of the best like dramedy TV shows I've watched in like a good minute, and it definitely like has funny moments, but it's way more like raw, like drama and like that sort of like like kid back of the house family dynamic, like than anything. But like when the drama hits, like it, like, and when the laughs do hit, like it's a very like interesting but deadpan sort of humor. Like, it's kitchen worker shit. Like, I literally can't stress this enough. If you've worked in the back of the house of a restaurant and, like, you've worked in that sort of environment, like, they do a really good job capturing kind of what, like, that job's actually like. And, like, I would recommend that everybody go watch this show. Like, it's so fucking good. It's so fucking good.
What's cracking, everybody? This is Future Nell here to tell you guys that I fucked up.
Big surprise.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, sometimes these things happen where you wake up in the morning, you look up at
feeling
the ceiling.
Like PDD.
Yeah, you wake up in the morning, feel like PDD. You wake up in the morning, you look up at the ceiling, and you're just thinking, wow, what a beautiful world, right? How beautiful of a world that we live in, that I can do a podcast and fuck up 10 minutes of it by not unmuting my microphone. You know, so unfortunately, yeah, some things happened, some discrepancies, one could say. And yeah, I just wanted to give a chance for future now, because as you're watching this, I currently from the future, you don't see it. I have my future space suit on, just letting you know that,
which is really his birthday suit with the sock.
With a sock? He's always, anyways, I'm here to let you know that, that I'm a fucking doofus, and my apologies. So, if you want to know, I talk about the Gray Man for a quick minute. It's great. Boom, boom, bang, bang. Ryan Gosling.
Good movie.
Yeah, good movie. Right.
Seven? Six.
Yeah.
That's a weird name. Well, 007 mm-hmm. is taken.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Ryan Gosling. Chris Evans is in the movie. He's wild. He's crazy. And then I talk about a hit movie, a 3-year-old hit movie called A Simple Favor, starring Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively, who looks like a snack. Entire movie. It's great. It's a good time. You should check those out.
Do it.
And maybe do yourself a favor and not come back to watch more good cracking content, because I'm not.
Don't listen to him. Listen to me. Come back.
Come back, friends. Please. Yeah, I take it back. I'm
bring your
back.
Mother. Bring your father. Bring your dog.
Don't leave
bring
us.
The guy
please.
You hate. The guy you hate's dog.
I need you. I need you here. Don't leave me. Don't do it.
I actually am going to talk about a little game that is on Game Pass called Trek to Yomi. Yep, I picked it up finally, and I started off, and I will tell you this right now. I am a little bit over halfway in the game already. The game is concluded out of 8 chapters. I have beaten chapters 1 through 4 so far. The game is stylized very similar to Kurosawa mode out of, oh my gosh, why is it on the Ghost name of my tongue? Tsushima. Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, it's very reminiscent of that. It has that old black and white footage style that you would see in those older samurai movies. But the game is very cinematic in a way that it picks with its camera angles on the sets that you're going through, and it transitions through scenes like a movie, actually, with different camera angles and stuff like that. Most of the combat is kind of side-scrolly, like back and forth, like you'll have enemies either on your left or right side, but there are a bunch of different kinds of enemies in the game, whether they have armor or different abilities and stuff like that, and you have to navigate, and it's almost kind of like Sifu a little bit in that regard, you know? You can die very easily in this game, but you can also kill your opponents very easily too, if you know like your combos and how
it's to like a realism block. Sort of combat.
Exactly. There is an easy mode, and there's a normal mode, and there's like Bushido Master and stuff like that. I'm playing on Bushido mode because I wanted the challenge out of the game. I'm having a really good time with it. All the dialogue is Japanese, so it's all subtitles, which I really like the authenticity of that. And the story is all about your honor as a samurai and you defending that honor. So it's very classic samurai revenge story in that regard too, so far. But it does go to some interesting places too. I'm really enjoying it. I'm sitting between a 7 or 8. Granted, I'm about halfway through the game, so I'm just kind of like waiting to see, you know, where it goes from here. So think of it as review in progress. But I think it's a fun game. It's not that very long. Each chapter is probably anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how much time you want to spend in it. There are a lot of collectibles in the game, like some hidden paths that you just kind of randomly find, because like when you're moving through the world, it goes from that side scrolly feeling to more of a 3D cinematic space. So you can kind of explore, see what doors open, see what ledges you can climb up and stuff like that. You know, you can unlock, you know, get more stamina, get more health. You get a bow in the game, so you can upgrade the amount of arrows you can hold. There's also you get a kunai that you can throw too, and you get a blunderbuss as well.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I think I was muted throughout like the course of my review on the thing, because Andrew just mentioned, can anyone else not hear her now? And I just realized that my mic was muted when we came back.
I'll cut out mine. That's okay.
Yeah. because like Kurosawa, I make mad films.
Yo, but Trek to Yomi is a good game. It's on Game Pass. It's an easy pickup and play. Very hack and slashy, but do know, do get very familiar with your parry and your block.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Just samurais.
So now that I'm not muted, Devin, what are we doing next?
Well, everybody, I would like to advise you to protect and dust off your shoulders, because we are going into the gallows.
Also, Andrew, thank you, dude. Thank you. When people say something about not being able to hear something, any audio issues, we really, really appreciate it, because we can't tell on our side, like, what is recording and what's not recording. Yeah. So anytime you guys are watching this live, please let us know. We will never be offended by it or anything like that. You guys are helping us make the best content possible. So with that said...
Yeah, like, the fact that there are eight of you guys just chilling in here listening to Ernell not talk, like, why?
they really liked the really quiet audio of the trailer. but I appreciate you, Andy. Thank you very much, dude. With that said, Devin... what are we talking about tonight, Doug?
So we're going to talk about something that's been kind of circulating in conversation over the last like year and a half, 2 years here. But, you know, I think it's time we fully open this can of worms. And let's talk about games being $70. Let's talk about it. It's going to be an open forum discussion. We're just going to throw them out there. I'd like to start with. I get it. I hate to say I'm a fence sitter. I get it, because these studios do need more compensation for what they do deliver and how much time and effort they have to spend on these pieces of art. But Skull and Bones is not worth $70. I'm sorry.
Sure. I get it. I mean, I'm definitely in the boat that says we need to be compensating developers. 'Cause even though... there are some games that definitely are $70 that definitely should not be $70. I think that we are in a state of the games industry where we are very much voting with our wallets. And because of such, there is space for us to be able to say, well, I'm not going to spend my money on a game that I don't think is going to be worth the $70 I'm going to pay for it. But at the same time, the games that I do want to play, that I do feel are worth $70 for, I 100% am fine with paying that, because I want developers to make the money that they deserve to develop the games that I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So games like God of War Ragnarok, totally dope, being fucking $70. I'm totally fucking cool with that. A lot of this conversation spans on The Last of Us Part 1 remake being $70. And I think that's a big thing we need to kind of start with here, is where do we sit on remakes being $70, and where do we sit specifically on this ordeal of specifically The Last of Us Part 1, a remake that I don't necessarily think a lot of people were asking for, if anyone really at all was asking for
it. Nobody was asking for.
Yeah, and they're giving it a $70 price point. So, like, I don't know where you guys sit on that yourselves, but...
yeah.
I didn't like it when remakes were $60, man. Like, I don't approve of that method of marketing. like, because it's like,
even if it's a complete remake top to bottom.
Okay, if it is a genuine remake of the game, like, it's going to come down to like a title to title scenario, what everyone's willing to pay, I guess. But like, for the most part, like, if it's just something that like is literally you're just like redoing, or like you're giving HD graphics, like, it should either be at the same price point as the original or something slightly less, in my opinion. Because like, obviously we understand that like us as consumers, like, the developer is not remaking this title for the sake of the game. They're doing it because they want our fucking money. Like, the least they can do is present it to us on a platform that's going to be like appetizing, in a sense, right? Like, it's really hard for me to choke down a $70 price tag for The Last of Us Part One, because like, I've seen, like, yes, all the stuff that I've seen, like the side by side comparisons, it does look a lot different. But like, you're all that I'm seeing from this is a studio taking advantage of the new normal price tag to just up their game price because it's a remake and because it's being released in the new console gen. It's just acceptable to price it that way.
Also, which is what's happening. The new show is coming out, and so because of such, I had even more justification to come out at that price point, right?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I can hear where you're coming from, because it's I mean, generally speaking, when it comes to games being $70, I'm okay with, because I understand, like, new IPs, new games, new sequels, those things like that absolutely deserve a $70 price point for the amount of work game developers put in. I'm weird. I'm cool with remakes that are like Spyro, right? That was a good remake. That was a good remake. They top to bottom that hoe, came out with it, and it was like, holy shit, it feels like I'm playing a new game. Right, even the mechanics were slightly different in that game. There are some remakes that I feel like absolutely deserve that. Things like Shadow of Colossus don't deserve a $70 price point, because that was hardly a remake, right? Like, and even though it was doubly a remaster first, and then they did the remake after, no, like Demon's Souls, yes, I'll pay $70 for that, because it's a brand new game experience, effectively. Yes,
exactly. See, but that's like, that's where like you get into like that split in hairs sort of scenario, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then like, one thing that's like also kind of interesting, and I've noticed it on a couple of games that kind of goes like along with this, is $70. Have you guys seen titles where it's like the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 version is $60, but the XS and the PlayStation 5 version is $70?
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the obvious discrepancy that's like kind of happening across, because Switch games didn't jump $10. Switch games are still $60.
Yeah, all of them.
Right?
Like, every fucking one is like $50-$60.
Do you guys think this is an acceptable trend to be seeing? Like, because it's been quite some time since we've had a price increase on games. Really around The Xbox 360 era is when we hit the $60 mark, right? That's only really two console generations ago.
Yeah.
And prior to that, we were sitting at like the $45, $50 mark, depending on like the console and the brand and stuff. But it was like, but we were at the $50 mark since like the 80s onward, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was really state, but like now we're seeing it, you know, a $10 price increase rather than like a $5 price increase over two console generations, which is like, what, 15 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Devin, what are your thoughts, man? We've been talking for a minute. What are you thinking?
I mean, I can echo a lot of what you guys said. Do I think, like, it hates, like, look, we're not game developers. We're also not any big industry insiders, right?
Right.
So take everything we say with a grain of salt, and also everybody hydrate.
Oh, we're coming at this from
our perspective is still valid, because we're coming at it from as a consumer standpoint.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think games that are being made with new technology, you know, like Unreal Engine 5 or like newer advancements that are obvious proof of new advancement and utilization of those newer tools and more expensive tools. If we're going to get down to the nitty gritty, I think those definitely deserve that $70 price tag, you know, whatever Forspoken ends up being, you know, like stuff like that moving on, like newer IPs, newer content, bigger worlds, bigger story, bigger graphics, right? Like those are the kinds of IPs that are going to deliver. When it comes back to the you know, the remakes, it's really, really dependent on it, right? Because we'll even have remasters that come out that are almost full price, you know, and I feel like that is almost the most criminal thing as we see is like, oh, you made it 60 frames per second, you threw a little polish on it, but you didn't do anything to like the overall game, and you're still gonna charge, you know, $70 for that,
which is nice because like, for the most part, those like games that were on the bridge to like the console generation, right, have been getting like those next gen updates like pretty much for free. Like I haven't seen anything charged, at least for that form of for like the FPS boost. But like, dude, yeah, if I were to just get a game with like if Skyrim were to just get like an HD ray tracing upgrade and like now you're gonna sell it to me for $70, I'd be pissed.
Go fuck yourself, yeah. Right? Yeah.
They already came out with that and it was a $10 upgrade. You already bought the game.
Right. So it's like, it's a weird, weird medium space to be in right now, because like, I can see us being a couple more years out and all the brand new titles will be $70. And it's even weirder to think about this in a post-pandemic standpoint. It is weird to think about it from a impending economic crash standpoint. It's weird thinking about it from a lot of different angles. And I think that for me, I feel like the bottom line is like, gaming is a hobby and they are allowed to set their price point where they want to set it. The fallback of this is that if they want people to play their games, they have to be reasonable. And I think some studios have it figured out. We see indie games all the time. Indie developers price their games very, very well. Anywhere from that $5 mark to $40 for a good, like, 16-hour gaming experience. And I'm okay with that. Like, I don't know how you guys do it, but I pretty typically mathematically do mine as I want two hours for every... I think it's like $10 that I spend, or was it like an hour for every $2 I spend? Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Mine's an hour for every $2. So if I spent $60 on a game, I expect a return of at least 30 hours of enjoyable gameplay.
Yes, exactly. My only retreat on that is if the 10-hour gameplay experience is so good, then
yes,
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that, but it needs to be a remarkable experience of 10 to 12 hours. You know what I mean? So like those Call of Duty campaigns, I'm okay with paying a full price point because I love those campaigns so much. Like I think that they put a lot of love.
You're going to enjoy that particular experience. So that price point makes sense and feels worthwhile to you, despite it being like a shorter piece of like content when you're looking at it from like a single player game wise.
Right. Now, Devin, what do you think you would need for a game to be justifiably $70?
I think I already said.
Well, no. I know that you meant it from like you need like the full graphical experience. Like you need it to be on a new
generation thing. I want to see new hardware being utilized. I want to see, you know, new programming, you know, bigger advancements in the worlds and the character design, the story, stuff like that.
Sure.
It doesn't, whether it's an 80-hour game or a 10-hour game, you know, I want to see the next gen be utilized. I don't want to see a game that looks like I could have played it on an Xbox or a PS4 be, you know, $70. Like, look at Lord of the Rings Golem, what we, you know, talked about earlier. Oh, that's probably going to be a $70 game.
Oh, yikes.
You know, Skull and Bones, it's a $70 game. You know, it's just, I want to see that what we're investing into is the things of what we're moving forward to for the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, that's fair. I think one more thing to sort of like add a wrench to the machine here. I have a small boiling theory that they're not increasing the price of games strictly to just increase the price point. I think there's a small chance that they're doing it to give people incentive to go towards a subscription-based gaming experience. Because we've seen, obviously, Game Pass, what Game Pass did, and is doing for the games industry. PlayStation releasing their PlayStation Plus, like, elevated program that is effectively the same thing. And I put that in real big air quotes because it's not. I mean, I got Stray for free, so I guess that's cool. But like there's Ubisoft Plus that is giving us Skull and Bones for free with a subscription to there. We saw that in effect with Rainbow Six Extraction as well. There's a few different companies that are kind of doing this thing. I don't know if you guys are riding that boat with me, but I think there's a chance that that could be like a thing that's actually happening here.
Just give me like my Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, ESPN bundle, but for gaming services, please. And please, like, I'll forget all about the $70 price tag. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Forget right the fuck about it. Because honestly, like, this is an inevitability. We know that, like, as we advance technology, things are just going to get more expensive because that's just how shit goes. Because as we utilize better things, those things cost more money. It costs more labor and more time to get those things made to make them worth your while, to make them look like a new gen experience. We're gonna float in like the new gen like range for probably a little bit here, but honestly, Once Nintendo releases their next console, I that's when everything going forward will be $70.
Big agree. Can we, Devin? What was that about? You did okay.
Nothing.
You had a moment there.
My shoulder hurts.
Oh, okay. Because you made a face, and I was like, the fuck was he? You look like you just almost pooped yourself. Like, you didn't, but you almost did, you know what I mean? Because it was that, like, oh, face. like the
I thought I farted, but a shit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. A little, like, jazzy jingle playing in the background. He almost took a shit.
If you remember, I had to go grab ibuprofen earlier.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's just the face he made was fucking killing me for a second. Shit. Yeah, I don't know, Devin. Do you think that's a feasible theory? Like, do you think that like could potentially be something that they're aiming towards? Like, they're not really intending for us to pay $70, but maybe it's just to kind of like shove people into this future that's coming.
You know, that's when we get a little bit like tinfoil hatty, right?
Sure.
You know,
fair.
You know, I don't think so. I think it kind of started with Microsoft just being like, hey, we can totally do this because we can take a deficit on games for a long time.
Microsoft was like, hey, fuck you guys. Microsoft you know. Goddamn, did they. Goddamn.
And then Sony just went, fuck.
Yeah.
Sony had.
Yeah. And they tried to do the same thing, and it was very lackluster. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
They're just like,
it was like what
I don't know if I can imitate.
Damn, that was such a good noise too.
It was like
money.
Microsoft was like,
it makes contact twice.
It was like
it just bounces a little bit. It's like,
yeah, it was like zip. That's what I
was like, an atomic blast that happens at the same time. Anyways, yeah, no, I don't really follow the conspiracy theory that much. I feel like the reason why they're doing $70 is because making games is really expensive, and a lot of the newer tools and hardware they have to use is very expensive. And if these developers are going to be compensated, things have to cost a little bit more. I mean, it's supply and demand, right? Video games is like the biggest entertainment, you know, market in the world right now.
Yes, it is.
So if
the demand is there, then, and they have the means to supply, that's what we're moving towards, you know. Capitalism, woo, but also people should be paid accordingly.
Yes.
And have benefits accordingly and not get fired just because some CEO wants to make $10 million more.
And not getting laid off because you work for the wrong company. And now
fuck you, Bobby Kotick.
Fuck you, Bobby Kotick. Fuck you, Game Informer.
But yeah, I think it's justified in a lot of ways. It's just it has to be utilized for the right content.
Sure, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Savage, hi, hello, how you doing, our favorite French fry? I hope you're doing great today, little potato. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Yeah, I think that unfortunately, Savage, you came at a really bad time because I think it's probably the end of this discussion. I think we kind of got to the bottom of it.
It's true.
Buy video games. Buy video, support developers. Yep. Support developers, please.
TLDR, this is an inevitability.
Yes.
And here's the thing. there are things like Game Pass and whatever the fuck PlayStation has. You know, there's game sales all the time. All the time. If you can't play something right away, that's totally fine. Just wait. It'll actually be a better game, and I can 100% promise you that.
That's fair. Savage, I was just about to rage y'all. Oh, Savage, we love you. We love you so much. We really do. But please give your raid to a very much more deserving person, because we definitely just spent 6 minutes talking about theoretical dongs that the video games industry was laying on a table. We're not quite worthy today.
No. You know, if I should make a recommendation, our boy Xander is streaming right now.
Yeah, give him a nice little.
Yeah, raid. Give him that raid. Raid. Give him that raid.
Cool boy, yeah.
And then tell him,
guys.
Tell him that you raided him because we weren't worthy.
Do that too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go over our schedule here for the next week. Wednesday, tomorrow, will be the long-awaited return of Seventh Brevin. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to be playing Jedi Fallen Order. That's going to be tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Or it'll be those same times if you're watching this video tomorrow morning.
Shut up, Bruno.
Thursday, we'll be returning with a live episode of The Shipwreck Show, recording right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. This is a sub-only chat, so if you'd like to be part of the conversation, please subscribe to our channel, and you can go to our Discord where you can give us questions and topics for the show.
Yeah.
Or no.
Like I said, me on a leash.
Yeah.
Me on a leash.
Yeah.
Leather mask.
If you're not wearing a leash on Thursday, then you're fired.
Okay. Say less. Say less.
I will only be there for the first hour of the show, but I will be there. So
you're gonna be there for the leash, and that's it. Peace out. Yeah. Okay.
I don't see the leash. So you're gonna wear a leash for a whole hour?
Bet.
Sick.
Wait, are you paying me for
it? He'll just be wearing a big old t-shirt that says, "Don't bully me, I'll come."
Yeah, yeah.
I have to find that shirt now. Trail. Two shirts that I need. Don't bully me, I'll come, and I'm fat, let's party. That's what I want.
Why you make me laugh so much? All right, the boys will be doing another splash damage as they will be doing part two of As Dusk Falls.
I am pumped, and we also know how to make the multiplayer work functionally for everybody who wants to participate this time.
Yes.
So
yes.
Hell yeah.
Game Pass.
Yeah. Install it if you want to play with us. Make sure you have it installed. We're playing on Friday. The first chapter was fucking wild.
Game Pass. Way better than we thought it was going to be, honestly.
Yep. Yeah.
Goddamn.
Saturday, this will be a different one for the GK crew, as we will all be very, very busy this weekend, but we have no content this Saturday. I'm sorry, guys. We love you. We love you so much, but we will have no content.
We have things to do. Yep. We have things to do. Yep. In our IRL lives. Yep. I have to get a leash. Actually, I have to do that before Thursday. I have to find that t-shirt by Saturday.
Yeah.
Please let us know what you guys think about video games being $70. And if you think they should be or should not be, let us know your thoughts in the comments below or come to our Discord channel and talk there. Well, guys, this has been the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you
want to hear
live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. West Coast, best coast time here, right at twitch.tv/GoodKrakenShow. If you're still riding this wave, you can head on over to our Discord where you can submit questions and topics to the show, get exclusive content, and have early access before we go live on podcast and video services across the digital sea. You can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken exclamation point and leaving a review there. We got to get going, but until next time, Ernell, shut the fuck up.
Oh, please, Lord, go watch The Gray Man.
Yep.